Matthew 26, one verse in Matthew 26, verse 24. The Son of Man goeth even as it is written of him, but woe unto that man through whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had not been born. Now, John 18, starting at verse 28, they lead Jesus, therefore, from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early. And they themselves entered not into the praetorium, that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Pilate therefore went out unto them and said, What accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, If this man were not an evildoer, we should not have delivered him up unto thee. Pilate therefore said unto them, Take him yourselves, and judge him according to your law. The Jews said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should die. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee concerning me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation, and the chief priests delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end have I been born, and to this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find no crime in him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, again we have read of him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Thou hast told us, those who belong to thee, that by considering him, we shall be successful in not becoming weary, thinking in our souls. Our Father, we confess we never tire of reading of this. We confess also that we cannot comprehend how men, even though we are like these men, treated him the way they did. But our Father, thou hast given us the true account in four accounts as to what happened to thy Son. We thank you for every word recorded and preserved for us. And now we desire again to consider some of these things that thy Son said, some of the things that the authors say, and we desire to be blessed in our souls. And so cleanse us. You promise to do this if we confess our sins, we confess them. And thou hast promised to empower, because thy strength is made perfect in weakness. And so do all of these things. And for lips and souls, blessed we pray. Hear us, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you have any idea as to why you have been born? Looking over your life up until now, if the Lord Jesus had to make a pronouncement of it, would he say concerning you, as he did concerning Judas Iscariot? Or might it be said of you as it was said of John the Baptist? The Lord Jesus said concerning Judas, good were it for that man if he had not been born. Now think of your life up until now. Has it been worthwhile? Or is it a waste? And would it have been good if you had not been born? Or, concerning John the Baptist, it says, many shall rejoice at his birth, and he shall turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Think of that. If at the end of my life, the Lord will make a pronouncement as he did at the beginning of John the Baptist's life, why, then life and living will not have been in vain. But he does not always make the pronouncement of John the Baptist about everybody. Sometimes he makes pronouncements like those concerning Judas Iscariot. And so let's think of those things a moment about whether you know just why you were born. The Lord Jesus did. Do you realize that? The Lord Jesus said, when Pilate asked him, are you a king? The Lord Jesus said, to this end have I been born. To this end have I come into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth. The Lord Jesus knew why he was here. Do you have an idea why you are here? There are so many people who say, is there any meaning to life? What is life all about? I'm in a state of confusion. But the Lord Jesus understood perfectly. The Lord Jesus, knowing all things that were going to come upon him, and the Lord Jesus understanding perfectly where he came from, where he was going, and why he was on earth. Now, that is an encouragement to me. Because here I am, one day, when I learn to discern good from evil, and I am inquiring about things, I find myself in the world, and I want to know, why am I here? Is it by chance? Is it, as the evolutionists say, it is simply chance? Or am I here because of a supreme being, and if he put me here, did he have any purpose in putting me here? Well, what we do is to read from the lives of God's saints and God's only begotten Son, and then the answer is given. And what I know for certain about my being here, about heaven and hell, is all a matter of faith, because I cannot demonstrate it. A scientist can demonstrate that of which water is made, and he can tell you about trees and birds, but if I tell you about heaven, it's simply on the testimony of what I've read in this word. And in like manner, as to why I'm here, where the world came from, its destiny, all of those things, I can only tell you from this word. And yet, I am so certain about it that for some 40 years, I've gone through life with assurance, knowing the destiny that lies before me, understanding that my being in the world is not an accident. It was all a purpose. God had a purpose in sending me here. And the Lord Jesus knew about his, and Jeremiah knew about his, and Paul knew about his, and I know about mine. You know about yours, do you? How sad for a person to go through life blindly, striking in the dark, beating the air, not knowing if there is any object in life, and yet the Lord Jesus knew everything about his existence. When Pilate said, are you a king? The Lord Jesus said, to this end have I been born. Keep that in mind a moment. And concerning Jeremiah, he was told by God in his prophecy, I have raised you up. I've sanctified you before you ever came out of the womb. This is why you are in the world. And Jeremiah said, I'm overwhelmed. I can't do all these things. And the Apostle Paul understood that God sanctified him even from his mother's womb. That's what he said. And when the Christians were afraid of Saul of Tarsus converted, the Lord Jesus said, don't be afraid. He is a chosen vessel unto me to speak to the Jews and Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. This is why he's here, a chosen vessel. Now listen to the Lord Jesus. In prophecy, and we would only know this from prophecy, the Savior understood about his existence in the world from his infancy. It says in Psalm 22, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. And so the Lord Jesus understood that from the beginning, and Jesus had a beginning. Understand that. The Word eternal. The Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And he says, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God. Thou didst make me to trust when I was upon my mother's breast. The Lord Jesus understood that in his infancy. When he was 12 years old, his parents were bewildered at his behavior. And he said, what? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? This is when he's 12 years old. Understand that. Young people, when are you going to understand that you must be about your father's business? You say that comes late in life. You can understand from a child the purposes of God in your life. And then at the age of 12, he is already about his father's business. He may have not been publicly manifested, but he is preparing, and that is what is so sad. I think of you young people, all of you, wasting your lives, and then later in life you get saved or you come to the realization that you are saved and your life is wasted, and then you start doing something for God. The Lord Jesus for 30 years had been preparing for service in God's kingdom. And that is what he wants you to do. Don't waste your life now, but understand that there is a purpose in life. And then after his public manifestation, in John 4, I remember, the Savior said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. He understood all the works that God had sent him to accomplish. Now, do you have any understanding about this? Are you just drifting through life? And if someone comes across your path, you may witness, and if not, it makes no difference. Or does God directly lead you? Does God show you, teach you? Well, I certainly hope he does. But the Lord Jesus understood, and that is what we're going to consider for a little bit, because when Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews then? The Lord Jesus said, thou hast said, for this reason have I been born. I want to come back to that later. But at the same time, the Lord Jesus said, to this end have I been born. Then, how good a thing it was that the Lord Jesus was born. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. You parents, think of the children you brought into the world. Now, is God going to look upon them? Think of Judas Iscariot. Think of his father looking upon his son who became the betrayer of the Son of God. And I'm thinking of your son. But then I'm thinking of you in particular, because God makes this pronouncement upon Judas himself, not upon his father. He said, good were it for this man if he had not been born. So it means this. It means that you're in this world and that your life is rapidly being lived out, and God is looking upon it, and at the end of it, he is going to evaluate it as to whether it was good for you to have been born or if it is bad that you had been born. Now think over your life. Would God say good, or would he say bad? Do you know why you've been born, and is it good or bad that you've been born? I know this. While in the case of some, there are specific reasons that are given why they're born. I told you about Jeremiah, about Paul, about John the Baptist. I know those things. Concerning all of us, God has a reason for our being born. And you are here, and the main reason is that you might be saved, that you might comprehend God who made you, and God who prepared a place for sinners. God wants you to know that. It says, God is not willing that any should perish. Then I know the purpose of God for your life. It's not that you should perish. If you perish, it will be your fault. God cries out in the Old Testament, why will ye die, O house of Israel? Turn ye from your wicked ways. And there was not going to be one man in hell whom God wanted to be there. God is not willing that any should perish. But, as we'll see in a moment, the purpose of the Lord Jesus coming into the world is somehow related to mankind being in the world, and we'll see how all of this works out. Now, something else I want to bring to your attention, because I'm trying to pick out these leftovers from the chapter that I've been speaking to you from this month and bring them to your attention. And the other one is this, the manner of death that the Lord Jesus should die. When the Jews wanted to put the Lord Jesus to death, they had not the power. And it all worked out that if he were going to die, he would have to be put to death by the Romans, and the Romans put to death by crucifixion. And it said, when they said, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, signifying by what manner of death he should die. You say, where? Where did he signify what manner of death he should die? At least three places. Let me tell you about them. In John chapter 3, the Savior said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him may have eternal life. I see. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's John chapter 3. Now, in John chapter 8, he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, so I speak. When you have lifted up the Son of Man. And then in John chapter 12, if there were any doubt at all, the Lord Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me. This he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should die. And then in John chapter 18, the word that he spoke is to be fulfilled. Remember that. Whenever the Lord Jesus speaks a word, it is as certain as a prophecy in the Old Testament that it might be fulfilled, the word that Jesus spake, signifying the manner of death that he was going to die. Now, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, why, he took a piece of brass and put it on a pole and lifted it up. Who would have ever thought that this signified God's Son being put on a piece of wood and nailed there and lifted up? And yet he knew it in John 3. The Savior knew what manner of death he was to die. He knew why he came into the world. He knew how long he was going to stay in the world. And he knew the way that he would go out of this world. You don't know. You're going to die unless Christ comes. But you don't know the manner of your death. No one does. The Lord Jesus did. Lifted up. And then in John chapter 8, he knew. But he says to the Jews that it's going to come to their understanding too late. He said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, so I speak. It's going to be too late. But it said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, notice, in John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In John chapter 8, when you have lifted up the Son of Man. And now, in John chapter 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I could give an entire message on this. I simply want to bring to your attention that the Lord Jesus again and again and again knew the death he was to die. And he first mentioned it in type of Moses from Numbers 21, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness to save you. And so his death was predicted typically, understand that. At times God speaks plainly, in plain words. At times God predicts typically, as when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And I told you of this. When Moses was told to smite the rock, God said, I will be on that rock. You take your rod and smite the rock. There is a type of the Lord Jesus being smitten of God and afflicted. The Old Testament is filled with types of Christ and the matter of death. And the Lord Jesus now is bringing to our attention in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And in chapter 12, notice how it's all come together. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, and it's out of the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Then he's going to die and be buried and be raised from the dead. And the outcome of it all is that he's going to draw all men unto him. They do not always respond positively, but at least there will be that drawing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to bring that to your attention. And also this, that when the Lord Jesus is explaining to Pilate about his kingdom, that he is explaining the kingdom in its aspect as set forth in the Gospel of John. I told you this for years now, that do not think that you have exhausted the teaching of God when you know about the kingdom as it's found in John's Gospel. You know only a small part about the teaching of the kingdom. Because you'll find the kingdom of God taught a particular way in John's Gospel. You will find it taught a particular way in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic Gospels. And you will find it taught in a particular way in the epistles of Paul. You say, you mean it's taught by Matthew, Mark, and Luke in one way, and John in another way, and Paul in another way? Yes, it is. That's the marvel. And what happens is that my dear amillennial brethren, look at John's Gospel and listen to it, and it sounds that they're right. The Lord Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here, not from this world. You say, there you are. Don't you understand that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world? It's spiritual. And you're right. That is the aspect of the kingdom of God as taught by John. John teaches the spiritual aspects of the kingdom. You say, well then, am I being led astray when I look for a millennium? Why, of course not. Because John also teaches that millennium in the book of Revelation. Perhaps I'll tell you about that in a moment. But let me tell you the literal way, the physical way, that the kingdom is described in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke. When you read about the birth of Christ, of John the Baptist, in the introductory portions in Luke's Gospel, you'll find that he is teaching a literal, a physical kingdom. And listen to it in Matthew chapter 19. Peter said, now we've forsaken everything and followed you. What shall we have? The Lord Jesus said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Nothing could be plainer. And man would do all in his power to read out the portions in Matthew, but you cannot do it. And so you do not say, well, it's all a physical kingdom, and leave out John. That's wrong. You do not read John and say it's all a spiritual kingdom and leave out the synoptic gospel. But you read Matthew and John, and then you read Paul, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And Paul brings out the judicial aspects of the kingdom and put them all together. And you do not have three kingdoms, but you have one kingdom described in three different ways. And you look at it and say, then it's a literal kingdom? Yes. And its principles are spiritual? Yes. And there are judicial aspects as well? Yes. The same kingdom, but looked at in three different ways. And the world is going on in three different lines, as if Christ were going to have three different kingdoms, but that's wrong. All of them are the same. The same kingdom looked upon in three different ways. And so for that reason, when you look at the kingdom in John's gospel, do not say, my kingdom is not of this world. Then perhaps there is no restoration of the Jews. Perhaps there is no sitting on the throne of David and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes, there's going to be that. And the same author who told us that Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, he said it again and again and again in his Revelation. It says this. In Revelation chapter 5, it speaks about Christ redeeming us, and it says, we shall reign upon the earth. Isn't that remarkable? The one who had Jesus to tell us my kingdom is not of this world, he says in Revelation 5 that he's purchased us and we're going to reign upon the earth. And it says the same thing in Revelation 20. Six times it says, this is the first resurrection. Over these, the second death hath no part. They shall be priests and they shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. The same man who wrote John wrote Revelation, and he said, we're going to reign with him 1,000 years. And this is what it says in chapter 11. It says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign. And so if you're looking at John's gospel and say, John never teaches anything about a literal kingdom, that is folly. He's the one who tells us the specific length of the millennial kingdom, the millennium, 1,000 years. And it says we're going to reign with it. And so in Revelation 20, we have the Lord Jesus saying, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So read your Bible completely and do not be upset when someone comes along and says, did you know that Christ's kingdom is only spiritual? And he reads you from the Gospel of John and you say, oh, that's right, I can't find anything literal and physical in John's gospel. Just think it through again. Be as the Bereans. Go home and search the scriptures daily whether these things are so. And if he says, did you know that Christ's kingdom is spiritual? Say, yes, I know it's spiritual. If he says, do you know it's only spiritual? Say, no, I do not know that it's only spiritual. I know that it's spiritual. That's the way that John presents it. I know it's literal. That's the way that Matthew presents it. And I know that it's judicial. That's the way that Paul presents it. Now, what part do you want to discuss at this time? And are you able to put a compilation of all of them together and set before my eyes just what the kingdom is going to be? And they'll probably say, oh no, you're a literalist. Yes, thank God, I am a literalist. I'm looking forward to Christ, having gone to heaven, come back again. This same Jesus which went into heaven shall so come as you saw him go into heaven. That's what God would have us to do. And yet at the same time, there are those spiritual aspects. And all of these things God is teaching us in his word. All right. Now this. Understand that the Savior, when Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? The Savior must ascertain one thing. He said, are you asking me this question? I'm putting it so you can understand it. Are you asking me this question from a personal interest, or did others tell you this about me? He wants to know if Pilate has any personal interest, because the way it's expressed, sayest thou this of thyself? Now, in John 7 and 8, Christ twice speaks this way. He says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing from myself. The same word that you have in John 18. Nothing from myself. Nothing personally, but as the Father taught me. Now notice, the Father teaching is somebody else. From myself would be personal. And the Lord Jesus says, are you asking this from yourself in a personal way, or did somebody else tell you this concerning me? It's like the Father telling Christ, or Christ apart from the Father speaking. From himself means setting aside the Father's influence. And when Pilate was asked this, are you asking me this from yourself? Is it a personal interest, or did other people tell it thee concerning me? Pilate said, am I a Jew? Utter contempt to think that I would have any interest in the Jewish religion, all of their fanaticism. This is of no interest to me. He said, am I a Jew? Don't you understand that your own nation and the chief priests delivered you unto me? No, I'm not personally interested in this. These are the ones who told it thee concerning me. And the Lord Jesus, having settled that matter, seeing that Pilate had no personal interest, he just wanted to find out about the charge. What have you done? What is your crime? Tell me. I'm trying to get something definite. They keep shouting out one thing. I don't believe them. Now you tell me, what have you done? I have no personal interest in the matter. And the Lord Jesus calmly says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not from hence. And Pilate said, are you a king then? Do you understand? He has set aside all thoughts of his being a king who is opposed to Caesar, who is going to establish at this time an earthly kingdom, who will take tribute and who will take glory and authority from Caesar. Pilate has understood that this isn't the kind of king that Jesus is talking about. And so he says to him, so you're not that kind of king. He said, well, are you a king then? And it's so interesting. You are a king after all. Not the kind of king that the Jews are telling me about, but you are a certain kind of king, a king whose kingdom is not of this world, whose servants are not going to fight to deliver you. You are a king then? And the Lord Jesus said, thou hast said. Now listen. He said, to this end have I been born. He was born a king. To this end have I been born, and to this end came I into the world. Now as a king, he came to bear witness unto the truth. And the Lord Jesus has not written off Pilate yet, even though Pilate said, am I a Jew? I'm not interested in this, whether you are a promised Messiah, what kind of Messiah you are. The Lord Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said, what is truth? And he went out and said, I find no fault, I find no crime in this man. But now listen. Here's what Christ does. He tells us that he is a king. He is born a king. The same words, to this end have I been born. Are you a king? To this end have I been born. In Matthew, the wise men come seeking him. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And the Lord Jesus said, to this end have I been born. I told you the Lord Jesus knew why he was born, who he was, and he also knew why he was born, who he was when he was born, and the purpose for which he was born. And among the purposes is to save you. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so the Lord Jesus said, I was born a king, and to this end have I been born, that I might bear witness to the truth. Now put them together. Yes, I am a king. God sent me, the King of heaven, into the world. And he sent me as king to bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How is he going to do it? by bearing witness to the truth. He is not going to come and magically say, now I'm going to do this and you are going to be saved without any willingness on your part. The Lord Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus tells us who he is. He tells us that he came from heaven. To this end have I been born. To this end have I come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. And that's how Christ saves you. That's the only way that I go about saving sinners. I bear witness to the truth. I put the truth before you and I say, will you hear the truth? Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice and Christ's voice. If they have heard me, they will hear you, Christ says. And so Christ says, I've come to bear witness to the truth. And he's come to save sinners. And he's come to save you. And this. Pilate said, am I a Jew? As if Jesus were the Savior of Jews. You'll find again and again that it said this of Christ. He said, the Savior of the world. He's not just the Savior of Jews. He's not just the Savior of us in America, but he's the Savior of the world. And he saves men by bearing witness to the truth. He has borne witness to the truth. And now, will you hear his voice? The time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we marvel at this one that thou didst send from heaven. Indeed, his witness to the truth was brighter than the sun that thou didst set in the heavens. We are thankful, our Father, for the flood of light that thou hast given us upon truth. He is truth. He bears witness to truth. No longer is there such a thing as truth. But he has told us that there is truth. He is truth, and he bears witness to it. Our Father, thou dost know that there is so much confusion in the world. Men not understanding. Let them understand that there is a reason, a cause. The Lord Jesus, in him is the beginning of all creation. And there is a reason that men are here. And Father, that they may exercise that will of theirs, thy Spirit working upon their hearts. And may they say, Lord Jesus, I want you as Savior. Yes, I'm going to hear the truth and become a part of the truth. And so bless them to this end, Father, and save souls. And let us as Christians be upbuilt. Hear us and let us love thy Son and worship him because he's worthy. In his name we pray. Amen.